I want to finish with a bit more optimism from perhaps an unexpected direction. Cosmos Publishing is a small company. It puts out Cosmos Magazine, which is about science, and its editor-in-chief is Wilson De Silva, who is disconcertingly positive about the future.
Yeah, because there is a disruptive change going through the media industry, the kind of disruption that we've seen in other industries, and it's now finally affecting content. And for a long time, we were stumbling around thinking, what is it we're going to do? Because we were wedded to the print model, and we wanted to do things online. We've got the highest rating science news website in the country, so we've been doing okay online, but never really had a strategy for how to go beyond, you know, the next 5-10 years. And about 9 months ago, we started rethinking the whole business and thought, okay, we're going to become the number one science place for you to do everything science, buy DVDs, buy magazines, read. So basically a Cosmos experience. And we started thinking of print not as the central core of the business, but as just one of the platforms we have.
So a lot of the, say, iPad apps of publications, so certainly some of the earlier ones, give you the paper on your tablet, but there are obviously limitations with doing that.
There were. The first magazines were what's now called replicas of the print edition. Basically, people were thinking, and you can see how it happens in a magazine production house. You go, I've got to do the print issue. Oh, we're going to do the iPad issue. You know, what are we going to do? Oh, let's just give us a kind of PDF replica. And then, oh, let's add some hyperlinks here and there. We've gone through, and that's not just us, but some other publishers, Hearst with Popular Science, Popular Mechanics in the US, have tried really hard to think, okay, what is special about the iPad? What is the functionality it has? And what extra things can we do? And we've spent 9 months at reimagining the magazine from the ground up. It's kind of hard to describe. It's not just adding video and audio. Mm. It's little things like, for example, if you have a trivia section, why not tap the question and it flips around and the answer shows you, and maybe it has an image associated with it. Or if you have a competition that in a magazine, why can't you just email your answer directly from that page? If you have an opening story, glaciers are disappearing around the world, instead of having a double page spread, which we have in the print edition of the story, you can open with that image and then pan ever so slowly. It's almost like you're standing at the top of this mountain looking across all the glaciers, and you pan as you introduce the story and have the stand first and the first paragraph. It's just a different way of thinking of magazines, and I don't think enough publishers are allowing their editorial people to play, to experience and play with the technology and just try crazy stuff. And we've been trying crazy stuff for months, it seems.
So your future, what, it's now tied to the iPad? What about other tablets? Are you going to be platform agnostic? Or
We are going to be platform agnostic eventually. So we've made a massive investment with double staff, and we've
that takes you to be put that in context. You're now what, 9 or 10?
We've expanded to 17 people, including commercial people. So we originally had 4.5 people. We now have 10 in editorial, and we've expanded other sides of the business too. But basically, we're going to triple the amount of content we produce, irrespective of platform. It's not going to be necessarily advertiser-driven. I think one of the problems of the media industry today is everyone's trying to think, how do we make advertising pay? I don't think the game is advertising anymore. I think for too long, publishers, particularly in the magazine world, have been thinking way too much about what can we give the advertiser. We're actually, because I guess science is a niche, so you really have to be interested in science to get in. So it's never been a big advertising revenue generator for us. We have strong advertising, but never the kind of big stuff, 60% that you have in the mainstream titles. So we've always relied a lot more on reader revenue, subscriptions, retail and online.
Right. So get it right for the readers, and then everything maybe, else. Maybe the advertisers come as well.
But if they don't,
you think you're going to be all right.
Exactly. This is the model we're aiming for. And what's becoming clear to me is that in this world of no borders, there are only going to be two general types of magazines. There's going to be the hyper-global and the hyper-local. We're a niche. We're a science magazine. Yes. We're a niche. But that niche is a global topic.
I was going to say, it actually means that you can try and be a global publisher.
True, but it also means that, for example, you can be a woodworking magazine or a bicycling magazine, and you can be global. Now, luckily, Cosmos, since its beginning 7 years ago, has always been global because science is global. We don't bundle on about how a story is an Australian scientist. We just do science wherever it is. We also have a really good reputation. 15% of our subscribers, even though it's extraordinarily expensive to subscribe from the US or other places, 15% of them have been international. So, and we've won a number of international awards. So we've got a respect, but the problem has always been the cost of shipping.
So that is clearly what you see as your future. You'll keep doing print for as long as people want and as long as it makes some kind of economic sense.
Exactly.
But you are able to do this and you've been able to go as well as you have. And actually, before I go on, are you profitable now?
Because
you are sustained, you have been sustained by some deep pockets.
Yes, we have. Thank God that we had a benefactor in Alan Finkel, who's the Chancellor of Monash University and made his fortune in biotechnology. He's a scientist himself.
Mm.
He believes deeply in the product. He and Elizabeth Finkel have invested in Cosmos. And if without their help, certainly in the first
probably would
years,
never have started.
It would never have started. It would never have probably have started, but certainly wouldn't have lasted as long as it has. And maintain the level of quality. Because one of the things that Alan and Lizzie really believe is quality, quality, quality. I cannot tell you the emails I get breaking down his analysis of each issue, what we got right, what we could do better, and what we need to improve on. He is a meticulous reader. He loves science and he loves magazines. And he is our biggest fan.
Are you now generating an operating profit?
Yes, we are.
Right. So you're now a sustainable business where you are. Your concern is, though, is with what happens next.
That's right. We've got to think not what the market is now, but what the market will be in 5 years' time. So what we're doing now is making a large investment in staff and resources and in technologies to make sure that in 5 years' time, we're not only here, but we're actually thriving. We actually have an internal plan to be the number one science magazine in the world in 5 years' time. Watch this space.
The irrepressible Wilson De Silva from Cosmos. And you'll find more details about everything on the website, abc.net.au/Radio National. It is where you can sign up to the podcast as well. I'm Richard Addy. The show is produced by Kyla Slaven. Our sound engineer is Luke Purse.